It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, we have roughly a year and a half to go before the 2020 general election. By reading the politics in online, you would think it was going to be in a couple months. No, it is a year and a half to go before the 2020 general election. Between now and then, of course, the Iowa caucuses in February next year, followed by all those primaries, which will sort out our field of candidates. As we look to 2020, we're still gathering takeaways from the last presidential election, 2016. And one of the questions still being analyzed is, why did Iowa support Donald Trump after voting for president for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012? Well, in 2016, Iowa had more counties flip from Democrat to Republican than any other state. Why? That's what we want to explore right now, because there's a new Iowa State University study looking at this. I'm joined by ISU sociology professors Daniel Creer and Abdi Kuso. They are in our Ames studio. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So tell us, and just jump in where you like here, but what data did you look at specifically?
Well, maybe just to just contextualize this just a little bit more. You know, there were only six states that flipped from Obama in 2012 to Trump in 2016. Those six states were Iowa, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida. And of the states that flipped, Iowa's was the largest flip, an average of about 16 percentage point change in vote for the Republican candidate between 2012 and 2016. There were 206 counties in the country. Of those, 31 of the 206 counties that flipped from Obama actually voted twice for Obama in 08 and 12, flipped to Trump in 2016. So Iowa was really ground zero for the movement into the Trump vote.
So thank you. To really respond to the initial question, which was, why did Iowa vote for Trump when actually Iowa voted for Obama twice? We looked at variables in three contextual areas. The first one is economic status. There we looked at, for example, median county household income. We also looked at adults not working, that is percent of 16 and older not working in the county. And we also looked at employment change, which is county unemployment change from 2007 to 2016. So what you can see there is trying to measure economic impact from three different angles.
Sort of economic anxiety and breaking that apart into different. Okay, I
see.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
And then we looked at geography. So in this case, we looked at the extent to which a county is far away from a larger metropolitan area, and that's what's referred to as the rural-urban continuum code developed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And then we looked at social identities, and this is what we will refer to as social anxiety as well. But that is age, percent county population over 65, and Dan will add to that, this is very important. It's looking at those over 65 because of some earlier assumptions. Education, percent 25 years older with no college degree, and what we refer to whiteness here, percent of non-Hispanic white in the county, and religiosity, the percent of population that attend or that have religious adherence.
So when you looked at it with this data, these factors in mind, what turned out to be the best predictors of changing a Democrat to a Republican in Iowa?
Well, it was interesting. So we really have here the three sort of prevailing explanations in both the academic literature and in journalism. The three were rural-urban divide, right? Mm-hmm. The polarization between urban and rural is growing. The second is economic anxieties, that those places that felt that they were left behind, where the recession had lingered, where the recovery had been jobless, right? That these are the places where the Trump vote would be largest and the polarization would be greatest. And then the third was the places where there was threatened social identities. And again, we were taking our three sort of regions of variables from the literature and from journalism. What we found was that the largest explanation. The thing that was probably had more news reporting than any other is economic anxiety. We found that the economic variables were insignificant.
They did not support that.
Right. They had no explanatory weight.
Wow.
We built our model sort of stepwise. When you looked at them, Abdi can give us more on this, but when you looked at the variables sort of individually or as a group, the economic variables on the surface seemed to be really important. But when you added in rurality and the social identities, we find that the explanatory power went to zero.
So the idea that has been in journalism and in many sectors that the people who voted against the Democrats were more or less though, the economic losers of globalization is not correct?
It is not, at least based on our study right now. And I think it looks like, and I think there is something to that point, even from a global point of view, that there is an increased level of identity anxiety that comes from a lot of things. So in this sense, really economic issues measured from three different angles, as I said here, were not significant at all. What was significant was rurality, the extent to which one lives in or a county is far away from a larger metropolitan area, mm-hmm. and the percent of the population that's white. And so in this sense, and education as well. So education is really very important in that those who are more educated were less likely to vote for Trump. So it looks like we're seeing a slow movement from these gut economic fears to more of a social anxiety as such.
So social anxiety that we're not as white as we were as a nation, Abdi?
And we're not exactly sure. I think, honestly, that's in the background, and there has been a lot of discussion about this sort of the racial demographic transformation of the United States as a nation as a whole. And the fascinating thing here is that even if people live in a very highly rural area, and if they have no contact with population of minority individuals, they still react from an identity anxiety level. So the idea is that it's not even exposure to people of a different background, but it is really perceived threat. That maybe the nation
not necessarily actual threat, but perceived threat.
Absolutely. Right.
Through the media, for instance.
Through the media, through journalism, from people talking to each other. It's like in the whole nation's mind in this sense.
Right. And it really is borne out in what you looked at, because you looked at Iowa counties where there is relatively a large amount of immigration, more diverse populations relative to Iowa, and then whiter counties. And what did you find there?
Well, let's take a few examples. So the average county
We've got about two minutes.
Okay.
So, maybe one
so all right, we'll do this really fast. So the average county in Iowa is about 93% white. Mm-hmm. You take a county like Crawford, Representative Steve King's home county. That county is actually one of the most diverse counties in Iowa. It's about 74-75% white and about 25%. Non-white. I think I have the percentage off just a bit. And that county had voted for Obama and then swung strongly to Trump. You take another county, though, like Mitchell County, where Democratic candidate Bernie Sanders was yesterday in Osage. It's one of the whitest counties in America. It's over 99% white. And that county also had a large swing, about 37.9% actually was the total swing from the vote for Obama to the vote for Trump. So it isn't the fact that you have dark-skinned migrants taking your jobs or moving into your neighborhood that seems to be the dominant factor driving the swing away from a sort of moderate candidate towards a polarizing candidate. It seems to be instead this imagined threat, this perceived threat to social anxiety.
With a minute or 90 seconds we have left, so quickly spin out some implications here based on what you found.
The implications are such that maybe in the next time around, Of course, we cannot discredit or ignore economic issues in general. I think we all react to economic issues in the real sense. But I think the next time around, to a certain degree, the nation itself is changing. And these kinds of threats, real or no real, are sort of leading to a higher level of identity issues, more so than economic issues. So the people who are running next time might be better off to think about identity issues more so than actual economic performance as such.
So Dan Crear, this is good information for people who run campaigns to know.
Yes, it is good information. For what it's worth, I think that the policy that was outlined yesterday by Bernie Sanders, I haven't seen all the details, but it's in the right direction. It's providing rural voters with a narrative for the reasons why their identity is threatened that isn't focused upon migrants or, in other words, it isn't punching down at people who are migrating in or punching out at people who might want to come in. It's instead identifying multinational corporations, farm consolidation, agricultural policies that favor already wealthy agricultural interests. That's the place where the causation for the decline in rural life lies.
Mm-hmm. Quickly, before we go, with Iowa's big swing here, you identified in this research, well, do you predict Iowa going back to a more moderate stance?
I would say it's very difficult to know. There's a stark choice here, right? Like Representative Steve King has been removed from all of his committees in large part because he's signaling the threat down and out. And it will be interesting to see if the 2020 election rewards someone for doing that, or if it actually does swing back to a moderate position.
Interesting indeed. Dan Crear and Abdi Kuso, sociology professors at Iowa State University. Fascinating research. Thank you for coming into our studio today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury and Caitlin Harrop. Help today in Ames from Sean McClain. Catherine Perkins is our executive producer. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.